Be looking at the passage of the resurrection from John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'll begin reading in verse 11. The scripture says this: "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? There are many, many valleys in our lives. But losing someone that you care about has got to be one of the most difficult valleys. I know many of you have experienced that, and I certainly have in my life. I remember my earliest memory was when I was just a young boy. We often went to our grandparents in West Virginia, and we were playing with our cousins, and we got the news that my uncle, my dad's brother, had drowned. And it was sad, and I didn't know what to do with all of that. I just knew everyone was kind of crying, and it was upsetting. I didn't really know him very well. My memory of him was simply every time we went, my dad always went looking for him. So when we got that news, it was tough. When I was 16 years old, there were three of us, three buddies that grew up, and we were close friends. Maybe you had some of those in your life in the early ages. We did everything together. And I got that phone call. It was a tough phone call to get. My best friend had been killed in a car accident. I didn't know what to do with that. Difficult. Then since then, many friends, family, you guys know this, don't you? You understand, there's been special people in your life, but someone so close, and we see her struggling with someone she loved. That was her grave. That was Mary Magdalene's grave. That's what she faced. But you know, there's different kinds of graves. There's actually graves that live people live every day. They live in a grave of depression, a grave of anxiety. They live in fear, especially today, fear of so many things. They get worried, and it kind of puts them in a cave, in a grave, and they walk around that way. There's valleys and graves of addictions that get a hold of people. And they're so hard to get out of. If you've been there, or you worked with somebody who has, you know how hard it is to get out of it, even if you want to. That's a grave. That's a grave. But I've got some great news for you. There's someone who has walked through a deeper valley, a shadow of death, and he came through the grave and rose from the dead, and it's alive today forevermore. Amen. John talks about this. John talks about this earlier in his book that we just read from. He talks, in fact, he compares this whole life with light and darkness. He says people are walking around in darkness as if it's a normal thing. And it's not normal. In fact, people sometimes don't even know it's not normal until they see the light. And John says that the light came into the world and the darkness could not even comprehend it or contain it because it was so great. And that light was the light of all men. I got a name for him. What is it? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something about this Mary Magdalene here. She was in a pretty tough grave. We don't really know all her background, but Luke gives us a little hint. I believe it's in Luke chapter 8. It talks about some of the ladies who worked with Jesus in the ministry, her name comes up, and what we get from it is this: Mary from Magdalene. She was the one who Jesus exorcised seven demons from. Whoa. Now, oftentimes in the Bible, the word seven is more than just a number. It is a number of completion, fullness. Mary was being controlled by something other than God. She was even out of control of herself. She couldn't even control her own mind, her own actions. And it was a difficult situation. And I wonder how many people today are walking around like that here in darkness, being controlled. You're controlled by the news of the world. You're controlled by fears and anxieties that can come with living in this world. And we make our decisions based on those things. And at some point, Mary was like that. But then she met Jesus Christ. And it made all the difference in her life. And so I think you can understand someone that special in your life. You all have someone that close to you. There's got to be somebody, even humanly, that was so special, so close to you. When that person, if they died or moved away, you understand why she weeps, right? You know it. It makes sense. You get it. And so Mary is struggling with this. And so one of the things we see here is just the tears. And this, by the way, if you don't know Max, whenever he talks about Jesus, that's what you're going to get. He loves his Lord. And so what we have here is Mary. She's just loving her Lord. She's just missing her Lord. And there's people in our lives that we miss so much that we'd love to be able to get a hold of them. I got to tell you, how is it that she just loves so much? Well, I believe it was the Lord who said this one time. He said, those who have been forgiven much, love much. And I wonder about us today. Where are we at with that in our own life? Those of you who have been resurrected from sin and death, you've been forgiven much. Do you love much? Mary did. Mary did. In fact, it says back in Luke as well, not just her, but several other ladies came together and their love went into action. And it talks about them supporting the ministry of the disciples in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Mary Magdalene was part of that support team. Wherever they went, I don't know all that they did. There's no details, but I imagine it involved food and money and other things, whatever they could do to let the disciples and to let Jesus be able to do what they do. It is a partnership, this ministry of the gospel. And if you have been touched by the Savior, if you've been transformed by faith in Jesus Christ, then you should love much. That's where she's at, so I think you can relate to it. I get it. I get it. I was talking with someone, or someone was talking during breakfast back there, and by the way, thanks for all those who put that together. Woo! That was great. We appreciate it. I was a little concerned, though. I said, Dawn, you're going to put the people to sleep. That's my wife, Dawn, over here. And I'm trying to keep them awake. I don't know how that works, but feed them so much food, and whoo, anyway. I'll keep walking around. Maybe I'll jump on a pew, keep you awake. So anyway, Mary Magdalene, and they're supporting them and supporting Christ. And I think it's just because of her love for God and the Savior. And you understand that. But anyway, we find her back here at the grave. And we look, and we see her weeping, and she's crying. And the most strange question, I don't think I'd ever ask this question of anyone at a funeral. Right? Would you walk up to a spouse of someone or a parent or a grandparent or even a child and say, why are you weeping? We would kind of think that'd be cold, right? Am I wrong or am I right? I mean, you don't normally say that. But for these guys, That was their question. Why is that? Well, let's think just a moment about angels. Can I just for a moment? These guys pop up everywhere. I can't wait to see some. Of course, I have a live angel over here. But one that, you know, with this, I'm doing the best I can. You know, we got the point. Is the scale gone up over here, the number on that side? So these guys were here to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. It makes sense to me they're here to announce the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures tell us that these angels are really kind of watching and learning and what's going on down here. This is really, we are really heaven's reality TV show. And we're the stars. And oftentimes, I would imagine angels are like confused. Why in the world are they not trusting? And can you see them sitting up there in heaven? Well, why are they not trusting Jesus? I don't get it. Look at that. He's just got it right there. Jesus can do it. He can do it. He's not trusting him. He wants to live in fear and anxiety. He's just not, I don't understand what these humans are all about. Lord, they are strange. And now, for them, it would be natural. Why are you weeping? Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, guess what? I got news, good news for you, Mary. You can live also. You can live too. That's good news. That's not bad news. But what happens when our pain, we all have to admit this, sometimes our pain creates a cloud, doesn't it? It creates a cloud over us and a fog. We can't see things clearly. Addictions can do that. We can't even understand how do I get out of this. We don't believe that we can. And then in your own strength, you can't. I just think it's interesting here how Mary Magdalene here just doesn't have any fear with these angels at all. I mean, there she is, and these guys are there, and they say what they say to her. Now, I don't know about you, but I might jump up 4 feet in the air and head tail out of there and run as fast as I can. She just has a conversation with them. What? What's happened to my Lord? They look and nothing. They can't console her. But then she turns around, and what happens? There's a figure there. Now, the scriptures kind of give us a heads up who it is. We all know who that is. It's the Lord. And he speaks to her. And the first time, she doesn't recognize, right? In fact, the scriptures kind of talk about that right here. In John, they have this conversation. Woman, why are you weeping? I just heard that question. Whom are you seeking? And then she says, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Wow. Doesn't get it at all. And here it is. Somebody in this room needs to hear this or watching. You can be so close to the Savior and not see him. I know people that have grown up in church all their life and never met the Savior. Oh, they met a religion. They met good people. They may have gotten involved. It's even possible they joined a church, but they never met Jesus. How is that possible to have the Savior right there and not ever recognize who he is and what he's done for you? And Mary doesn't recognize him at all at first. But it does bring up a couple truths that we're just going to have to look at. And the first one is this. God is here with us, whether we see him or not. The second one following that, God is not silent. No, sir. No, ma'am. God speaks to us in so many ways through the blessing of life, creation, blessing of family, blessing of friends. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us through his word. So many ways God is here and he is speaking. My question is, are you where Mary is right now? You're having a conversation, but you don't know that this is the Savior of the world who can change your life forever. Well, Jesus isn't getting anywhere with that. And then all of a sudden, we have this. Verse 16 says, Jesus said to her, one word, Mary. That's all it took. My friend, I want you to know something. You may feel in a dark valley. You may feel alone. But God knows your name. He knows your name. And right now, He's speaking to all of us. Mary hears it. And she turns around. That's all she needed to see. And you, by the reaction, you know how she loves and cares for him. And he has to say, whoa, now, I got some things I got to do. And we have a new relationship. You're going to have to walk with me as the rest will at some point. Trusting and through prayer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I have to ascend to my Father. I have to show myself to Him. And so he tells her to do this, but boy, she is just changed. Bing! Quickly, she realizes everything He said, I understand, I see clearly. And that's what faith will do for you. God will provide for you the faith that you need, and faith will clear up the fog so that you will have the ability to see Jesus for who He really is, not just some name you learned or heard about or maybe taken in vain all over the world, but as the Savior of the world who loved you enough to die for you and to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins, so that through faith in Him, you can have salvation from that. Otherwise, you're walking through this life in your own grave. So I want to ask you a question. Where are you at now? Even as believers, there are believers here, those who have trusted in Christ. Is there a grave that you're in? I'm not talking about one that's dealing with your eternal salvation. I'm talking about a grave that you have walked yourself into. Because Christ has resurrected you out of that grave. He kicked that stone out. That thing's out of the way. So if you're in a grave, you're walking in it on your own. Jesus says, no, I've come to give them graves and make them depressed. Is that what He said? I have come to give them life. Abundantly. We walk in our own graves. We walk by choice. And Mary shows us there's another way. Would you find forgiveness and freedom? You can, if you'll trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us this, that Christ died for our sins. You see, it was our sin that took Him to the cross. And that we nailed Him there. His blood was shed for you and me so that we can get out of our grave and into a new glorious day and out of the darkness into the light. That's what Easter is all about. That's the story of the Bible. Christ shed His blood and died, was buried, and rose again the third day so that all who would believe in Him shall have eternal life. Now, Christians, I want to talk to you just for a moment as well. Mary has given us a great challenge. What was one of the first things she did when she heard about her Lord and understood and saw Him for who He was? She ran with all she could and went and told the disciples. She was told to do that and willing to do it. and ran and said, "Jesus is alive! I've just seen him!" Now there's a choice they have to make. They could say, "Man, that woman's crazy. I ain't messing with her." Or you can say, "My Lord and my God." What is your choice today? Are you listening? Do you hear the voice of God? If you listen close enough, he's speaking your name now. Will you trust in him? Psalms tells us this: weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's time for some of you to get out of the night into the glorious light. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there might be some here listening, I believe there probably are in a crowd this size, who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. There could be a lot of different reasons. Maybe you had doubts. Maybe you're a cynic. Maybe you're not sure about all this. But I'm telling you, the transforming power of Jesus Christ and his grace in your life is so overwhelming, it'll make a difference for you, not just for eternity's sake, which is extremely important, but for the here and the now. And if you're a sincere seeker of the truth, if you're telling me right now, "I don't know about this, but I want to be honest and I want to sincerely seek truth," then I would say to you right now, this is your step. You cry out to God this moment, "Lord God, if what this man up here and all these people that are singing and rejoicing are saying is true, I pray that you will show me this and make it clear to me. And that if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and just not some historical figure, I want to trust in him right now as my Savior." And my friend, your steps are simple as this. Recognize your own sin. You can. Mary could do nothing with her condition. Only God could save her from the demons that possessed her and the things that controlled her life. And the only thing that can change your life is Jesus Christ now. God's provided a way for you. And you just say, "Lord God, I recognize that I can't come to you on my own. I'm trusting in Jesus, my Savior, right now. Save me, Lord. I'm trusting in you." And Christian, are you ready to run out of that grave? God didn't save you to live in darkness of fear, anxiety, jealousy, anger, frustration, all those very human things we face. We struggle, but we do not have to be controlled by them. And I'm calling on my Christian friends today to run out of those graves even now and say, "Yes, Lord, I don't know why I'm weeping and crying as if all is lost, because you have already destroyed sin and death. And I pray even now, Father, that you will help my brothers and sisters not only realize that as they walk through these valleys, you are with them, but they can be effective in those valleys for Christ. Because soon and very soon, we're all going to see the King. And until that day comes, help us to be like Mary and to run out of this place and to tell the world Jesus is alive. Amen."